WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Ho, ho, ho! It's off to Grandma's house for Christmas dinner. Laughing and reminiscing with family, and more than likely, presents given and received. As Christmas is a joyous time of the year. When all the festivities are done and you're back to your regular daily routine, think of Culver's. You need a break or a treat. Butter burgers, concrete mixers, and almost as good as Grandma's cooking. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to one and all from the entire staff at your Wisconsin Rapids Culver's Restaurant.
Welcome to Radio Spirit's Holiday Classics. Today, we'll hear a classic Charles Dickens tale, and then we'll drop in for some holiday cheer at Duffy's Tavern. Let's start with A Christmas Carol, as first heard on the Campbell Playhouse from December 24th, 1939.
The makers of Campbell Soups present The Campbell Playhouse. Orson Welles, producer.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. There are clearly a number of ways in which a Christmas carol could be introduced. Myself, I am most struck by the happy fortune that enables us on this Christmas Eve to present Mr. Lionel Barrymore, the best-loved actor of our time, in the world's best-loved Christmas story, A Christmas Carol. It is the American way, as we know, to establish traditions quickly where popular instinct and sentiment pronounce them sound. And so it is that today, actually, only the fifth anniversary of Mr. Lionel Barrymore's first playing of the part of Ebenezer Scrooge for the Campbell Playhouse, there is, I think, in all America, nothing more eagerly awaited, more firmly rooted in the hearts of the radio family that numbers millions, with this yearly performance of A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol, as Charles Dickens wrote it, has by common consent long been a classic. Mr. Lionel Barrymore's appearance in it is rapidly becoming one. Now, just before A Christmas Carol, Ernest Chappell has a special Christmas greeting from the makers of Campbell Soups. Mr. Chappell.
Thank you, Orson Welles. As the old year draws toward its close, we of Campbell's feel a bond of warmth and gratitude toward each of you, our friends. Well, you see, in homes everywhere throughout the land, Campbell's Soups have been welcome. Day by day and week by week, you have placed confidence in us and in the foods we make. And there isn't anything we appreciate more deeply than the fact that so many of you have elected to let Campbell's make your soups for you. And so when Christmas comes, we look about to find some way to show our appreciation, some Christmas present by which to say thank you. The gift we chose 5 Christmases ago and have chosen each year since has become a part of Christmas to many and many a family. It has become a Christmas custom to gather round the radio to hear and to enjoy A Christmas Carol. And since it is Christmas Eve, we hope, too, that the younger members of the family are permitted to stay up and listen before dreams and visit of Santa. We get a great deal of pleasure planning and preparing this Christmas gift, and now it's ready. Off come the wrappings, off come the tags that say, please do not open till Christmas. Out comes the card, to you from Campbell's. And here is the gift itself.
Marley was dead to begin with. No doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead? Of course he did. Scrooge and Marley were partners for I don't know how many years. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone with Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house, a grim, cheerless place if ever there was one. The door of Scrooge's counting house was open, that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who in a cold and dismal little cell beyond worked at his ledgers.
Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay.
23.
Christmas Day.
11, 13, 17, 21.
Bob Cratchit.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Stop that infernal caterwauling.
Yes, sir.
15, 17, 21.
Impudence. Singing their idiotic Christmas carols at my very door. Go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols, or I'll give you in charge.
Sorry, Governor. It's an old custom at Christmas time, you know.
Yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Take your fellow fools and go away. Christmas. Blah.
Right, sir. Merry Christmas anyway, sir.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle.
Ah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? No, I'm sure you don't mean that.
I mean just that. Exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you? You're poor enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough.
Ah.
Now, Uncle, don't be cross.
Well, what else can I be? And I live in such a world of fools. What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? Merry Christmas. A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Uncle?
Nephew, keep your Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it, but you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. What do you want? A Christmas gift, I no doubt.
I came to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
A Merry Christmas. Much good may Christmas do you. Much good it ever has done you.
There are many things from which I derive good by which I have not profited materially, I dare say, Uncle. Christmas among the rest. But I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
Let me hear another sound out of you there, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. As to you, nephew, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense.
Don't be angry, Uncle. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I've tried. A Merry Christmas to you, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Ah, humbug.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Bob, and the missus, and Tiny Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Fred. Same to you, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day, Bob.
Nonsense. Nummery. Talking of Christmas and not two sixpences to jingle together in his trousers pocket. You there, Bob Cratchit. Come here. What are you doing there?
I was only putting a bit more coal on the fire, Mr. Scrooge, seeing it's so cold in there, sir.
Well, you put that coal back into the scuttle. A fire! A fire, indeed! I can tell you, if you use coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company, Bob Cratchit. You understand that? There's many a young fella like your situation, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Then put on your mittens. There's someone at the door. See who it is.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
This is the firm of Scrooge and Marley.
Yes, sir.
I should like to see the head of the firm, if I may.
Oh, very good, sir.
What is it?
A gentleman to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Huh?
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's been dead these 7 years tonight. I'm Scrooge.
Well, now, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we who are more fortunate should raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. You may not believe it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities, and hundreds of thousands are in want of the simplest comfort, sir.
Are there no prisoners?
There are plenty of prisons, sir.
And the workhouses? They're still in operation, I trust.
I wish I could say they are not, but they are, sir.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful cause.
No, sir, all these institutions that you mention are flourishing. But it's nevertheless true that some additional provision for the poor and the destitute must be made. A few of us upon change are endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see. And what shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, I see. You wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be let alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to keep a lot of idle people and make them merry. I help support the establishments that take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Many can't go there, sir. And many would rather die.
Well, then, my advice to them is to do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I've only your word for it that all this is so.
It's the truth, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, so be it, then. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, sir.
I quite understand, Mr. Scrooge.
Cratchit, show this gentleman out.
Yes, sir. This way, please. Sir, I couldn't help overhearing. I should like to contribute something.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir. It isn't much, but it's all I can afford. There are others in worse situation than I.
You're a generous fellow. I wish I might say so of your employer.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas. Close the door.
Yes, sir. I have closed it, sir.
34, 31, 1 and Terry, 3. New scarlet tippet for Tiny Tim. The comb for Martha. 33, 3 and Carrie, 3. Hair ribbon for Belinda. 4, 7, 12, 15.
I suppose you want the entire day tomorrow.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If I was to stop half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself very ill-used, I'll be bound.
Well, sir, I...
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work?
It's only once a year, sir.
Once a year. Once a year, indeed. A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose it's no good talking. You must have the whole day. Well, see that you're here all the earlier the next morning. You understand?
Oh, I will, sir. I will, sir, indeed. Good night, sir, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to Radio Spirit Holiday Classics. We'll return after a short break.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose, because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Rosemary Pitsley will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family, no matter what the future holds. Because the people you do anything for life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Rosemary Pitsley and Adam's Friendship today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Merry Christmas.
We hope you are enjoying the 30 Hours of Christmas here on AM 1320 WFHR. We now continue with Handel's Messiah.
Thank you. But thou didst not leave his soul in hell. But thou didst not leave his soul in hell, nor didst thou suffer, nor didst thou suffer. Thank you.
AM 1320 WFHR hopes you have enjoyed this performance of Handel's Messiah by the London Philharmonic Orchestra and Choir under the